The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you.
You've got to be on my mind, my lips, in my heart. On that day, Jesus went out of the house and sat down by the sea. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood along the shore. And he spoke to them at length in parables, saying, "A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground where it had little soil. It sprang up at once because the soil was not deep, and when the sun rose, it was scorched, and it withered for lack of roots. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. But some seed fell on rich soil and produced fruit, 100 or 60 or 30-fold. Whoever has ears ought to hear." The disciples approached him and said, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He said to them in reply, "Because knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven has been granted to you, but to them it has not been granted. To anyone who has, more will be given, and he will grow rich. From anyone who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because they look but do not see, and hear but do not understand. Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilled in them, which says, 'You shall indeed hear but not understand. You shall indeed look but never see. Gross is the heart of this people. They will hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and be converted, and I heal them. But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. Amen, I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it. To hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. The seed sown on the path is the one who hears the word of the kingdom without understanding it, and the evil one comes and steals away what was sown in his heart. The seed sown on rocky ground is the one who hears the word and receives it at once with joy. But he has no root and lasts only for a time. When some tribulation or persecution comes because of the word, he immediately falls away. The seed sown among thorns is the one who hears the word, but then worldly anxiety and the lure of riches choke the word, and it bears no fruit. But the seed sown on rich soil is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields 100 or 60 or 30-fold. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Who among you here has a garden at home? Vegetable garden? By now, for those of you who are into plants, your summer garden is probably sprouting to life with tomatoes, bell peppers, squash, and cucumbers. I'm trying to do that. One of these days, I will be able to build a garden in the back of the rectory. Have you ever heard of a squirting cucumber? Yes. Across the Mediterranean, including parts of North America, there is a cucumber that reproduces by squirting its seeds. Its scientific name is Ecbalium elaterium. And ever since the time of Jesus, botanists have been fascinated by this plant. This variety grows like a weed, like a menace in the garden, but produces an edible cucumber. To reproduce, fluid builds inside the plant so strongly that the plant convulses and spits seeds at speeds too fast for the eye. Some of them can land 30 feet away. When I was in Globe for 7 years, I always give the people on the pew as a homework when they go home after Mass. So this is the beginning of your homework. When you go home, go on YouTube, type up there, squirting cucumber. So you can see how fast or forceful it spits all its seeds. You might hear some sound like a narration, like a National Geographic. As scientist Derek Moulton says, it is not enough to fire your seeds far. You also want them well spread out if you want to increase the likelihood that some of them survive to make new plants. I'm not sure if our Lord Jesus had the image of a squirting cucumber in mind when he described the kingdom of heaven. He did use a similar image to explain how the word of God spreads. If you notice in the Gospels, Jesus did not preach nice, simple, three-point sermons. Sometimes he would criticize the experts of the law, the scribes, the Pharisees, and the elders of the Sanhedrin. Sometimes they would call them names to wake them up. Sometimes he would say, "You brood of vipers." He preached through a method popular as far back as Aesop's fables and as familiar as the rabbis he listened to on Sabbath days. Christ preached in stories called parables. As you know, there are more than 40 parables in the Gospels that Jesus taught us. The parable of the seed and the sower, the parable of the widow's mite, the parable of this and that. They were markers to place alongside our lives. As we follow along, we see how our lives align with this direction. The parables brought in the kingdom of God, explained why the world was the way it was, and invited us, his followers, to probe our hearts. It's always something that we need to do at the end of the parable. And so, however, Jesus also used parables to confuse those who hate him by explaining, because they look but do not see, and hear but do not listen or understand. But to his disciples, the Lord says, "Knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven has been granted to you." In one of his prayers, he says, "I give you thanks, Father, most holy, for you have revealed all these things to the childlike and not to the learned." So you see, the gift of knowledge is only given to those who seek Christ, and faith is a prerequisite in seeking Jesus. As you know, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we call it seven gifts without an S. It's a singular, not seven gifts. Seven gifts of the Holy Spirit with there are seven effects, and one of them is knowledge. And knowledge has to be used with wisdom and understanding. Those three. Have you noticed that the fastest growing religious denomination in this country and around the world is the nuns, not the sisters, N-O-N-E, nun. They don't have any religion. Among the almost 20% who do not identify themselves with any religion, approximately three-quarters were raised with a religion as children. This is the lamentation of elderly parents when they come to me for confession. "Father, I have raised my children into the Catholic faith. They went to Catholic schools. Some of them were altar servers, but now they do not practice the faith. They are nuns. The study prompts important questions. Why is this happening? What can be done about it? The community of St. Matthew, who is the author of today's Gospel, asks similar questions as reflected in today's Gospel. Why do some accept interpretation of the law by Jesus while others do not? Like all the parables of Jesus, the one in today's Gospel is open to a variety of interpretations. We have at least four interpretations. First, if we take the sower as the focus, the parable invites us to reflect on the boundless generosity of God who offers the word to all, the word with a capital W, in the person of Jesus, in the hope of a fruitful response, no matter how poorly prepared to receive it some may seem to be. We cannot outdo God's generosity. Second perspective, if we zero in on the seed, the parable assures us of the efficacy of the word. No matter what the yield, the seed itself is good and it will bear fruit. That's why Jesus says in the Gospel that even the rain falls down to the ground, water the earth, and it goes back to God, not empty. Who among you experienced the big rain last night? Everything was flying away from my backyard, the hammock, the patio chairs. The third explanation is, if we take the harvest as the focus, the explosive return propels us into reflection on eschatological fulfillment of hopes beyond our wildest dreams. Father, what the heck is eschatological fulfillment? Eschatology means, it's a big thing in our Catholic theology, the four last things, from the Greek word eschatos, meaning last. What are those four last things in our faith? The second coming of Christ, we call it in Greek the parousia, the resurrection of the dead, the final or general judgment of both the living and the dead, and the fourth one is the new creation. And the fourth interpretation is, if the different types of soil are our focus, the parable urges effort to do everything possible to weed out obstacles and cultivate maximum receptivity of the word. And so, to receive the word is to hear it. We receive God, His word, by hearing it. That's why obedience comes from hearing, from the Latin word ob audire, to listen. That's why the overarching theme in today's Gospel is about hearing the word. Scripture scholar William Barclay suggests that there are four types of hearers in today's Gospel passage. First, there are those whose minds are already shut and refuse to allow the seeds to penetrate the hard ground. No matter what you tell them, they are shut, closed. We don't want to listen anymore. Second, there are those who make hasty decisions out of emotion or passion. While they may initially respond to the word, the shallow ground does not bear fruit because it's shallow. The ground is our heart. Third, there are those whose hearts, minds, and lives are so busy that there is no room for the word to grow, causing it to be choked out by the weeds. And fourth, and finally, there are those with open hearts and minds, ready, able, and willing to hear the word, grapple with it, and internalize it. When you come to Mass on Sunday, you are giving me the manifestation that you are the fourth soil, that you are the fertile soil where the word of God grows. The parable in today's Gospel is incredibly practical, brothers and sisters. Each of the three ways in which the seed fails to produce fruit can be a measuring stick to which we hold up our own responses to God. Am I willing to listen to God's promptings, or am I too stubborn to change? Many of us, especially those who are, many of us who are 35 years and above, we don't want change anymore. 9 o'clock is the new midnight. I did not want change. I was happily living in Globe like a retirement person, like a retired priest. And I had to come here to work You are making me work. We are set on our ways. But God always challenges us, according to Pope Francis, to get out of our couch and do the dirty work of evangelizing people. Second question, am I in for the long haul, or is following Jesus just a nice idea? Do I provide space for God to work in my life, or do I crowd out God with distractions and lesser things? The readings from the prophet Isaiah in today's first reading should give us hope. Even when we feel indifferent or distant from God, the Word of God never returns to Him empty. It carries with it something that we don't see. It always takes root in our hearts in some way, even if we can't expect or imagine how. There's another parable that Jesus says, the parable of the wheat and the weeds. The farmer let the wheat and the weeds grow together. He sleep at night, he does not know how they grow, but in the end, the weeds will be gathered and burned, and the wheat will be gathered and harvested and put into the barn. And so in the Eucharist, my dear brothers and sisters, the Word gives Himself to us as bread to eat. He does so that we might be made fertile, yielding fruits of holiness. That's why the Lord proclaims to all, from the beginning of His ministry in the first century up to us who are descendants of the first Christians, He always proclaims to us, those who have ears ought to hear. Amen.